house of the Lord with other believers in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God for everyone that's here and every gift that's in the room. Praise God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's going to be a little foundation to get ready. Got to get my heart transitioned. Amen. Be sensitive. To listen. So many times my mouth gets in front of my ears. Amen. So, amen. You know, God built us the right way. He gave us two ears and one mouth. Amen. Boy, I thank God that he didn't give me two mouths. Oh, man. Man, I get enough trouble with this one mouth. I couldn't imagine having two mouths. Amen. Amen. With two mouths, you'd almost be double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, the Bible says. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, let me put one there for you. Ha. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Right there, Lord. He's not a horse, but he's a man. Amen. He's Mr. Ed. We'll just call you Mr. Bill. Shouldn't call you Mr. Bill because it goes back to my day with Mr. Bill. I don't think you're Mr. Bill. Oh, no, Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to you about seeing the resolve, and seeing the answer and not the problem. And the reason I'm saying this is because I'm going to build off of where we've been going, because we're going in a direction with purpose, and God has a plan. So I'm just being obedient to his guidance. And we talked about, you know, whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive them and we'll have them. And we talked about praying with focus, praying with faith, and praying with forgiveness. And last week we spoke to you about provision, PRO-vision, being for vision, that the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. So we spoke about how vision guides us and vision directs us, and how we can be encouraged by vision. You know, the Word of God says that for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but then it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it surely shall come. It will not tarry. And we've been speaking vision, but I really believe this in 2014 is the year where vision's going to start speaking. Amen? Start speaking. I believe it's going to speak on... It's going to speak on April the 19th at Harris Gardens. Amen? You've already had to separate him from being in trouble? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so on April the 19th, as we go to Harris Gardens, that's one of the areas in which the vision will start speaking. And, you know, everything, God has a strategy and a target. Our target that we're reaching is children. So our target that we're going to Harris Gardens for is for children. Now, even though we'll minister to maybe some others that are there, some parents or whatever, but our goal and the purpose for this outreach is to reach children. Jesus loves the little children. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna reach out, and we talked about the other week. The Lord said that for every problem there is a solution, and God has a solution to every problem. And God uses man to solve other man's problems. And the problem that we're going to talk about this morning is a majority of the world is facing death. And we have the answer to the problem. His name is Jesus. We have the words of life. life and death are standing face to face. Amen. And as his children, we have an opportunity to be the solve that problem through the Father. Amen. So when we look at this, the other week we were I was talking to a young man that last Sunday, and we had a problem in the basement. And the Lord said that he was the answer. So I went and talked to him and said, "Well, I have a problem." And the Lord said, "You have my answer, and you're the answer." And he said, and then I gave him the problem, and he said, "Well, here's your answer." So in other words, God uses man. He doesn't usually work around us. He works through us. Amen? So that's why everybody's part is so valuable and so important. And I, when I was looking at this account, so Luke chapter 5, this is really it's really interesting. So let's just go there and let's see where the Lord wants to take us today. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1, and it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing." The King James version of that word is in the English language isn't too good. It would say, and he saw two ships sitting by the lake. The ships weren't standing, okay? "But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for the draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net began to break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." I would like to focus your attention for the message today on verse number 4, where he says, "And now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, when I looked at this, the title of this morning's message is Sounds a Little Fishy. Sounds a Little Fishy. Now, what I'm saying there in that title, Jesus just came out of the wilderness being tempted of Satan. Jesus is just going to reach and bring his disciples to follow him. And Jesus is a master teacher. He's one that's teaching people when people are following. But Simon was a master fisherman. Simon had been fishing all of his life. And Simon knew where to fish this lake. In other words, fishing, when you were fishing with nets, you didn't fish in the daytime, you fished in the nighttime. Because the fish traveled in schools at night. When you were fishing in the lake, you didn't fish in the deep, you fished in the shallow waters around the outside is where you fished. So all of a sudden, Simon's got in his mind, Jesus is telling him to do something that he knows doesn't work. But at the word of Jesus, he went ahead and did it. So what we're going to do is we're going to see what the Lord has to say and show us through the word, the marvelous miracles of God. Amen. That sometimes God's going to ask you to do something that doesn't seem right to you. It doesn't seem like that's not the way I do it, Lord. I think we should do it like this. And he'll tell you to do something just the opposite. Hello? Hello? In other words, when we go out fishing, amen, what we're fishing for is we're fishing for men, not for fish. But we have to trust the Lord. The Bible says no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. So in other words, we have to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit when we're sharing and talking and telling people about Jesus. I got to go a little bit lower than that. Amen. Write down on your notes, Jesus loves everyone. Jesus loves everyone. Jesus will teach me how to catch people. We're just starting this, so you bear with me. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's four things I want to share out of our text today. I'm going to share the launch, the deep, the nets, and the draw. All right? Can we lift our word together and make a declaration? Do you have your Bibles? Let's lift our Bibles together. Lift your Bible in there and repeat after me. Say, I believe this is the written Word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's Word says I am. I can have everything God's Word says I can have. I can be everything God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Jesus, speak to me, for I am listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do today. So, Father, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us today. Father God, may we come to know you and come to see you in a greater measure. And can we recognize and realize who we are in you? So, Father, I pray that you speak through me today, Father God. May Carl get out of the way. Holy Spirit, speak to this vessel. Speak with clarity and understanding. And I'll never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So one of the things that was we spoke earlier this morning is Jesus took profound truths and taught them in simplicity. The problem is we take simple truths and we try to make them profound. You know, the Lord was showing me something with the extended hands of God, guys, that he gave us a simple way to lead everyone to Jesus. In other words, he wants to work through us, and he gave us a method of our hands. Just like that, like when we're launching out, he's given us all of our equipment. This is where we're getting it from, but this is the equipment we're carrying. If I go walking up to somebody with my Bible, most people are going to run from me. They're going to say, one of them wild preachers is out there. Amen. That's going to preach to me hellfire and brimstone. But if we walk up with just ourselves, but we have the word and the understanding in our lives, and we have a simplistic way to share the gospel, we have a way to lead people to Jesus by simplistically using our hands. This is just a method. It's not the only way, but it's a means of where we're training our children to share the gospel. I truly believe that this is the generation that's going to usher in the return of the Lord. I truly believe that we're raising up a generation of children that are going to not be afraid to share the gospel. They're going to be trained as an early age, and they're going to walk in the fullness of God, sharing Jesus with a lost and dying world. But that doesn't leave you and I out, because you and I have a responsibility as parents how to guide our children, how to encourage our children, you know. And we encourage them when they don't do it right. We don't rebuke them for it. We love them, and we try to keep on encourage them, you know. There's not no right way or wrong way. We're just going to keep on going till we get it right. Amen. But the first thing he said to me, he said, Simon had been laboring all night. I mean, he was worn out. He had been fishing all night, and it was bad. He didn't catch a thing. He probably wasn't the happiest camper. I don't know if you worked all night and you didn't get any money for it. If your job, you worked for 8 to 10 hours, and all of a sudden they said, "Well, we decided we weren't going to pay you for that today." Yeah, your attitude might not be the best. But all of a sudden Jesus said, "Hey, can you do me a favor? Just launch out a little bit now here, so I can teach out of your boat." You know, and all of a sudden the word came, and Jesus is teaching. And as Jesus is teaching, he's encouraging Simon. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Jesus is encouraging Simon as he's preaching to the people that are on the shoreline. Simon's in the boat with them. They're together. He's right beside him. But all of a sudden, Jesus says, launch out. Launch out. You know, I believe that the church, Greatest Freedom Ministries, and the church per se is just a launching pad. Amen? That the launching pad. Our harvest, our field is out there. This is just a launching pad to be launched out of. Just like NASA, when they're sending out a spacecraft or a ship, they're launching from a launching pad. But they're going and they have a target. Amen? I believe that God just doesn't send us out aimlessly, that he targets. And in other words, being sensitive to where God's ministering and entered into his work, not trying to create it in our own. In other words, what I'm looking for is I'm looking for opportunities to share where Jesus is already at work. Amen? I'm entering into his labor. So one of the things that really spoke to my heart is when you launch out, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. This is a story of the king of Israel, king of Judah, and the king of Edom. They're going out against the Moabites, the king of Moab, and the armies of the Moabites. And just to paraphrase for the sake of time, they're in this journey. They're 7 days in this journey, and they ran out of water. They didn't have any water for the men. They didn't have any water for the beasts and the animals. And all of a sudden, they turned to one another and said, "The Lord has delivered us into the hand of the Moabites." And King Jehoshaphat said, "Well, isn't there a man of God here? Isn't there a man of God here?" And they said, "Yes, the prophet Elijah's here." "Well, let's hear what the prophet Elijah has to say." So the word of God says that the prophet of Elijah got into the presence of God in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Here's what the Lord had to say. "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with the water that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord, and he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand." In other words, here's an army. They're worn out, they're tired, they're thirsty, there's no water to drink. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes and says, "Hey, go dig some ditches." In other words, sometimes when God calls you to launch out, it's not going to be what you think it should be. In other words, God called them to operate in faith. In other words, they did as according to the word of God. And the Bible says as they dug those ditches, that during the night, the valley was filled with water. And the next morning when the sun came up, the Moabites looked down in the valley and said, look, it looked like blood. And he said, the kings of the armies of the Israel and Judah and Edom have turned on each other and killed each other. Let's go down and gather all the bounty. And as they went down, they turned on them and they overcame and annihilated the Moabites. In other words, when Jesus said to Simon Peter, launch out, Simon in the back of his mind, even though he was saying, oh, I'm going to listen to you, Lord. Dude, I'm going to do whatever you say. But in the back of his heart was, hey, you may be a good teacher, but you don't know anything about fishing. Because we just don't catch no fish out there during the day. In other words, God was calling them to do something outside of his norm. You know, isn't it just like God to do something crazy? Amen? God will do something outside of the norm if we're just obedient and we follow his guidance and his direction. You know, and you go to the next chapter in 2 Kings chapter 4. There was a widow woman that her husband died and she didn't have no money to pay the debt. And what did Elijah say? Told her to go gather vessels, not a few. And he said as they went out and gathered the vessels, well, that didn't make any sense. She asked her what she had. She had nothing but a pot of oil. Well, if you only have a little pot of oil and you gathered all these vessels, where's the oil coming from? In other words, God wants you to know he has an endless source. And as we're going out, God is looking for vessels to fill. Who does he want to fill people with? The Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit. You know, God is looking for vessels to fill. Amen. And he's looking for vessels. He's looking to refill us, to constantly fill us, but he's always looking for new vessels to fill. Amen. And guess what? As many as you gather, he'll keep filling. Because he's an endless source. Amen. Amen. In other words, he's an endless source. He'll do super abundantly above what we ever expected or even thought he would do. So when God is calling us as a ministry, he's calling us to launch out. I was sharing with my brother yesterday that the Lord, when I was speaking to the Lord about Greatest Freedom Ministries, and I was speaking to him, I've been somewhat believing on misleading I've been waiting for this move of God. And God said, you move and I'll move. We think, well, there's a move of God, then we're going to move. God says, you move and I'll move. We don't have to wait for God. God's ready to pour out all the time. God's ready to pour out today. We don't have to wait the next week, next month, next year. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost came, he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen? In our mind says so many times, we say, well, Lord, you do this, I'll do that. One of the things he got me on that, one of the things he spoke to me about is you know, this scripture in Isaiah where we said, they that wait upon the Lord. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, the Lord's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. You know, waiting up on the Lord. Amen. Not waiting on him. We're waiting up on him. In other words, when I'm waiting upon him, it's like going into a restaurant, and let's say that I'm a waiter, and I'm serving. And as I'm serving, he'll renew my strength. And even when I'm tired, as I'm serving, I'll mount up with wings as eagles. I'll soar. I'll run and not grow weary. I'll walk and not faint, because I'm waiting upon the Lord. I'm not waiting for him. He's already done everything. When Jesus said it was finished, it was finished. He's already purchased it. He's already gave it to us. It's just about you and I believing him at his word. You know, we could talk about Simon's mindset, but the truth of the matter is, Simon launched out. No matter what he thought, he may not have had faith to believe he was going to fish, but he, out of obedience, he followed the word of God where God said, launch out. And he was obedient. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So it's very important for us to be obedient to our parents and to our elders, because when we're obedient to our parents and our elders, we're obedient to the Lord. And when we're disobedient to our parents and our elders, that means we're being disobedient to Him too. Amen? Amen? What a good class. Amen. Michael, your generation is really blessed, man. Y'all got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 girls to one guy, man. But he's not only that. Let me see. Here's the second thing I want to share. He said, not only launch out, he said, launch out into the deep. You know, when I studied it, you know, if you look at the word deep in the Greek, it comes from the Greek word batho. It means mystery or unknown. In other words, he was asking him to do something he never did before. He was asking him to go to a place that he hadn't been before. He was asking him to step out into the deep. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, he says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen? In other words, we can't be walking and launching out into the deep. We have to do it in the natural, but we must do it also in the spiritual. We must trust God at his word. Amen? When I was looking at that, I was looking at and Daniel, the prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, God gave Daniel supernatural wisdom. Amen? And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, it says, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. In other words, all of a sudden, he is what Peter or Simon Peter doesn't have revelation and understanding of is that the light of the world is set in the boat. That same light, whether it was day, night, or in between, he would have still caught a draw to fishes because God himself was in the boat. Amen. And I think you need to understand that when we go out to share the love of Jesus with a lost and dying world, that God is always in the boat. God is always in the boat. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost dwells in me, the Spirit of Christ, so God is always with me. So no matter where I go, he is there with me. Amen? That makes it nice because I don't ever have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of the dark. You hear me? I don't have to be afraid of the dark. Why? I don't have to be afraid of the dark? Because the light of God dwells inside of me. So if the light of God is dwelling inside of me, it is never really dark. In other words, the Jesus that's in me is bigger than anything that's on the outside. Amen? So what? We don't have to be afraid of what? We don't have to be afraid of the dark, right? Because why? because you have light inside of you. And that's what he says, and Jesus says, let your light, the light that's inside of you, so shine before other people, this says before men, that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. See, so when we're out, even in school, we're letting the light of Jesus Christ shine through our lives. We're not being mean. Some people are mean in school. Some people, there's bullies in school. And people try to bully you around. We don't bully people back because they bully us. You know what we do? We just tell them Jesus loves you. And you know when I tell them that Jesus loves them? That leaves them in Jesus' hands. Jesus will deal with them. Amen? So that doesn't make what they're doing right. But hey, if they really knew who is inside of you, they wouldn't be bullying you. Amen? She's showing you her notes. She's doing a good job. Amen. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling of the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, in our context, in our text today, Simon, first, he was obedient. He launched out. He went into the deep. He went into the place. He went into the unknown. He went into this mysterious. And God is saying to you and I that when we go into places of unknown, we need to stand on Ephesians 1:17 that says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, when we're obedient to Christ Jesus, and we're following just as Simon did, he launched out, he went into the deep, he went into a mysterious place that he didn't know. Sometimes God is going to call you to go to places you've never been before. Amen? It's going to be a mystery to you. It's going to be unknown to you. And in other words, and it comes in total trust of the Lord. Simon was trusting the Lord. He was worn out. He was tired. Amen? He'd been fishing all night. So all of a sudden he said, launch out into the deep. And what did he tell him to do? To cast his net. Let down your net. In other words, if we never let down our net, we'll never get a harvest. What's out in the water, children? What's out there? People. So Jesus is saying, hey, this is a net. I'm showing you by an illustration about catching fish. But what I'm really trying to get you to understand that you're going to be catching people, not fish. Amen? So that's a simple truth. He's using a story. He's using an example from Simon to show us a spiritual truth. Amen? Is it boring today? Amen. And one of the things that really spoke to my heart, even in this text, is, you know, in Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel's prophesying about an end-time harvest of souls. He speaks about a river of life coming out from the throne of God. As it goes out ankle deep, goes out knee deep, it goes to the loins, and then it goes to a river that you couldn't cross. It was the Spirit of God moving. Like Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, that the river increases, it doesn't decrease. The farther it goes, the stronger it gets. There's more signs and wonders and miracles happening in foreign nations that are happening in the United States because the river is increasing. The river of life's increasing. And we need to step into that river. But one of the things that that he shared with me in that text, in verse number 47 of chapter 47, verse 10, chapter 47, verse 10 of Ezekiel, it says, "It shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Eneglam, and shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as fish as of the great sea, exceeding many." In other words, this was the Dead Sea. When you talk about these two areas, it's in the Dead Sea. There's no life growing there. Listen to me. There's no life there. And all of a sudden, the prophet is saying that the Holy Spirit, the water of life, is going to go to places where there seemed to be no life, where there seemed to be no hope of life, where there seemed to be a dead-end case, and he's going to revive some souls. I truly believe there's many from the Muslim nation that are going to give their hearts to the Lord. There's a river of life that's going to come to places that we're looking at, we're seeing, and it doesn't look like there's any chance of life, but all of a sudden the river of life is going to come, and the Spirit of God is going to touch them, and it's going to transform and change their lives. I believe there's an end time harvest of souls like never before. I believe that you have family members and loved ones that are caught up in some things. It looks like there's no hope for them. It looks like it's a dead cause. But the Spirit of God is going to flow and bring life to dead areas. Amen. Amen. In other words, what he was saying to, I know in back of Simon's mind, he said, "Lord, okay, I cast it out. We're in the deep, and now you want me to let down my net? It ain't going to go down low enough. I don't have long enough cords to catch the fish." But at the word of God, he was obedient. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." In other words, we're looking at an example where Jesus is taking a fisherman out. He's going into an area he never fished before. And all of a sudden, he's telling him and showing him that with Jesus with him and being obedient to the guidance and leading of the Lord, that you're going to catch fishes in places that you never thought that you'd catch them before, and these fish are men. Jesus giving him revelation. He tells them at the end, "Henceforth, you shall be fishers of men." So he's bringing this to the light. And I think it's explained to us in Matthew chapter 13. So turn back to Matthew 13. Jesus says in Matthew 13:47, he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast in the sea and gathered of every kind. When it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the vessels, but cast the bad away. So it shall be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." In other words, Jesus is saying here that when you cast your net, we're casting a net for souls. Jesus said, "All souls are mine. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen? And, you know, I'm sharing this. Why am I sharing this? Because signs and wonders will follow them that believe. In other words, when we start sharing the gospel, when the church gets in the action, that's when the church is really going to arise and we're going to see the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf speak. Amen? The dead raised. You know, and I believe even now the Lord wants to raise some dead fishes. Amen? I believe that God wants to raise some dead Christians. I believe that God wants to set our hearts on fire to get us excited again for the kingdom of God. You know, I believe it's time for the church to rise and for the enemy to be scattered. Amen? I don't know about you, but I got family members and loved ones that need Jesus. I got family members that they're hugging trees. I'm just being real. That are worship the creation instead of the creator. Am I alone, or do we have other ones in here that have family members that need Jesus? Come on now. Hey, you know what? They're watching you. They're watching me. Nobody wants to come to a dead place. Except with J.O. His church, he works in a dead church, and it's growing all the time. He helps clean up a cemetery across town. And what did you say to me yesterday? People are dying to get in. And it's a dead church, but it constantly is growing.
That's right.
It's growing faster than the dead church next door to it. Nobody's looking for a dead church. Amen. Man, I don't know. I want to be in the presence of people that believe Jesus and his word, just have some joy in their lives. Amen. 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 Stop giving the adversary so much ammunition to beat you up with. Amen. How many reports did you get? How many bad reports did you get? How many good reports did you get? You got quite a few of them too. And the good reports overcome the bad reports, right? Amen. 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 You know, this is Becky. Come on, stand up here, Becky. Becky's going through something right now. And Becky doesn't have a vehicle. And she lives in the Broadway area. And she might need a ride from time to time. Amen. And I want everybody to know, this is Becky Miller. Amen. And if you can help her, if you don't know her, and maybe it's sometime during the day, if you got available time, she's got appointments back and forth in the town, she doesn't have transportation, and we want to serve them. And I can't do it, because the reason I can't do it is I can't do it unless I have another person with me because of accountability. So I can't just go pick her up and take her unless I have someone else with me, because I'm a man and she's a woman. Amen. And I can't leave room for the adversary to use any weapon against the ministry. Oh, you ought to have seen Pastor Carl with this woman the other day. And don't you think? And you know who the ones that will start it? The church. Amen. But she needs our help. Amen. Amen. Because we're a body and we're in it together. Amen. So everybody understand why I can't take her? Not that I don't want to take her. She's a wonderful woman of God. Amen. And if my wife's with me or someone else is with me, we can work it out. I just can't do it by myself. Amen. So she lives in Timberville. And if you need some of her information, just see her and let's help her out. We're all body. We want to work together. Amen. Where was I? Was I preaching? Hallelujah. You know, in Luke chapter 5, verse number 10, Jesus said to Simon, he said, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." You know, that was so interesting to me. That here Simon, John, and James had their best fishing experience they ever experienced in their life. In other words, both ships were ready to sink because they were overflowed with fish. And Jesus said to them, "From henceforth, you're going to catch men." And the Bible says they forsook their nets and followed him. Now, would it be easier? Well, Lord, help me out. Would it be easier if I didn't catch anything? I really had a bad day. There wasn't no fish to be caught. But all of a sudden, there was an abundant harvest of fish. Amen? Amen? And the Lord was saying, "Hey, even though that's good, I got something better for you. I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this, and I mean this with all my heart. There is no greater joy than to lead somebody to Jesus. There is no greater joy to see somebody transformed in front of your very eyes. There is no greater joy to watch someone grow and mature in the things of God. There's no greater joy. There's nothing the world can give you that compares to when someone gives their heart to Jesus. You know, the Bible says there's a celebration in heaven over one that gives their hearts to the Lord. I see heaven shouting and rejoicing over a soul. And God is just showing us in this picture. You know, sometimes he's going to ask you to launch out. You got to put some action. You got to put action. You know, those men and those soldiers, they had to launch out and dig some ditches. Them sons had to launch out and gather some vessels. You know, and to the deep, into the mystery, into the unknown places. Sometimes we go to places we're not familiar with, but we're trusting God. Amen. We're trusting God. Amen. And in other words, I might not look like everybody I go reach. You know, I don't have to be, now nothing wrong with tattoos or earrings or whatever. If that's what they want, that's between you and the Lord. That ain't my business. I just never liked the pain. Okay? If somebody's going to pierce me, it sounded like pain. So I didn't want it. If somebody's going to burn something on me, it felt like pain to me. And I didn't want to have that pain. But that doesn't mean anything against what you have. So I don't have to get tattooed to go reach somebody with tattoos, because it's the love of Jesus that draws them to the Son. It's the love of the Father that's shining through our lives. It's God's love accepting them just the way they are. Amen? In other words, we're not supposed to say, hey, this is the pattern. This is what you're supposed to look like. How many followers are you going to get that want to look like you? I know not many people want to look like me. Amen. What are you saying to us? What are you saying to us is, hey, we're vessels of Christ to share his love. That's all we're to do. Share the love of God. You know, Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest to send laborers into his harvest. The harvest is already plenteous. It's already there. He's just looking for some people to cast some nets. He's just looking for individuals to share love. He said, look upon the fields. You say there's yet 4 months and then come the harvest? We do that a lot. Well, we're going to harvest souls when we do this, when we do that. And hey, we'll do it this and we'll do that. We'll wait for a move of God. We'll do this and we'll do that. And God has said, in 4 months we're going to do it, okay? And then 4 months comes, we're going to do it in 6 months. Or we're going to do it here and we're going to do it there. But the Lord says, you say there's yet 4 months and then come the harvest? Look out on the fields. They're white. And already for harvest. Amen? There's a harvest field that's prime, and all God's looking for is some men and women to enter into it. Amen? Amen? Will you enter into it with me? Amen? Amen? Will you enter into it with me? Can we go and reach the lost with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Amen? So when you're memorizing your scriptures, you're all of sin, Romans 6:23, John 3:16, when you're learning how to share the gospel, God's always going to put somebody in front of you to share. And you know what? You've got some relatives and some of your relatives that are not serving the Lord that you may be the only voice that they'll listen to, because they'll listen to the voice of a child. Amen? Amen. 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 Amen, Michael. Amen. So, in closing today, I think that when Jesus told Simon to launch out, Simon thought it sounded a little fishy. But the Bible says that he launched. He went out into the deep. He let down his net. And there was a great harvest of souls, of fish. And the prophet Joel said in Joel chapter 3, verse number 13, he said, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down to the press is full, and the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And he was saying to me when I was looking at that, you know, the Shenandoah Valley is our Jerusalem. And he said there's many, many multitudes in the Shenandoah Valley of decision. Many, many multitudes. I'm telling you that God's preparing hearts and souls all around the world. He's not just at the Shenandoah Valley. We just happen to be there. And forgive me for putting the Shenandoah Valley in the Valley of Decision. You see, it's like this. The Lord calls. The question is, will we answer? See, the call's going forth. The call's going forth. This ministry is called to be an evangelistic ministry to reach the world with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to mobilize churches around the world by sharing the gospel and going out. Our mission field is not in here. Our mission field is out there. God has strategically placed us. He's purposed everything he does. Nothing's by accident. It's not an accident that you're here today. God has a purpose and a plan. Amen. And I believe what the Lord wants to say to each and every one of us, it's not about our abilities. Because you know what? Even though Simon was a fisherman, the Lord could have used a baboon if he wanted to. You hear me? Amen. And you might not be an experienced soul winner. That's the best kind. And you know something? God only expects you to share his love with the ability that you're able to allow him to work through you. We're all at different levels and different places. We all have different personalities. You know, there's people out there that you, it's only your personality that'll reach them. I know for a fact that the Lord used everything that the adversary meant for evil in my life so I could understand people and what they're going through. Amen? And that none of us have got there yet. We're all on a journey. There's a problem that's facing the world. It's eternal death. The answer is the word of life. And all God's asking you to do is be the mouth in between. Amen. Bow your heads and let us pray.